All right, my dear friends. I love it that you love each other and want to talk, but it's time to get to business. We are here, gathered in our Father's house, surrounded by our brothers and sisters in Christ, the people who God has given us to walk through life with. And folks, what a wonderful blessing it is. And so as we gather, let's remember what makes us family here in our baptism, as we remember in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. We thank you so much for this gift of family, this gift of our that we have siblings, Lord, in you, that we have brothers and sisters, people that we can walk through life with, Lord, people who will help point us to you and remind us of the forgiveness that we have, Lord, but also the provision and the care and the security that we have in you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us this morning as we return praise to you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. All these things we ask, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. All right, my friends, please stand as we confess our sins. Let us confess our sins unto God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise to this God who has so graciously forgiven us.
To live, live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our light. He came to die, so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise, to show His power and might. And that's why we praise Him, that's why we sing, that's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship His King. He gave His everything. Yes, He gave His everything. He came to live, live again in us. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones His love. He came to go.
Yeah. Of the hymn, How Great Thou Art, begins with Mr. Carl Boberg. He was a Swedish pastor, editor, and member of the Swedish Parliament. Around 1886, Mr. Boberg was enjoying a nice walk when a thunderstorm suddenly appeared out of nowhere. A severe wind began to blow. After the storm was over, Mr. Boberg looked out over the clear bay. He then heard a church bell in the distance, and the words to How Great Thou Art began to form in his heart. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made. Can you imagine what Boberg felt as he formed these words? There was such calmness after the fierce storm, he could only utter those words of peace. How Great Thou Art was then translated by Stuart Hine, the English missionary to Ukraine, during World War I. He published the first three verses in both English and Russian in 1949. Then How Great Thou Art was sung by George Beverly Shea at the London Crusade of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Team in 1954. He later sang this song over 100 times during a revival in New York at a Billy Graham crusade.
See you.
reading for this morning is from Mark 12, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace and have most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Darwood. All right, kids, it is now time for the children's message, so come on down. I'll make it worth your while today. All right, everybody, could you guys all line up right outside the rail here? Nope, right outside the rail here. That'll work. All right. Right. There you go. You guys got it. All right, right. Line up. You guys can spread out. You guys can spread out this way if you want. That way everybody can get to the front. All right, here is what we are going to do. First of all, I want to tell you guys how much I love you. Do you know that? Do you know I love you guys? You guys are amazing kids. And so because I love you so much, I got a present for you today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, very good. So here it is. Here is your present for today. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Yep, take one. Just go quick. Go quick. There you go. Yep, just take one. All right, do you guys like your present? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Not too bad, right? I mean, especially since Halloween was just here. You don't want anything? They have had enough. Okay, very good. They're like, I've had enough of that candy. There's just too much over Halloween. I love it. All right. So now you guys, why am I giving you this candy?
Because
no, it's not because it's Halloween. No, it's not what I said. What did I say? Why am I giving you this candy, guys? Because I love you guys so much. You don't? Okay, very good. All right, so I love you guys so much that I want to give you candy. Did you want candy too? Okay. Yep, that's great. Take it. There you go. All right, so now, but here's the thing. You know how sometimes I forget stuff? The candy I gave you just now is the candy that I use for confirmation. So here's the thing. I already gave it to you though, right? So I can't take it back. That wouldn't be right, right? But could I ask you guys to give it back? And you know I love you, right? Do you trust me that I love you? Do you trust me that I'm gonna take care of you? Yeah? You don't trust me? Okay, well that's fine. Okay. So here's the thing. I'm gonna ask you to give the candy back. All right? You wanna give the candy back? Oh, you are so precious. Oh, my goodness. All right, who else wants to give the candy back? No, not so much? No? Oh, whose is that?
That was his.
Whose? That was Gavin?
Yes,
sir. Oh, that was Gavin's. That's why he's not giving it back. He already...
Avon's going potty, so... Yeah.
Oh, you're so kind. I really appreciate it. She's just not having that. No, okay, very good. You're going to give it back? You guys are, thank you so very much. I sure appreciate it. His sister is making sure he gives it back. That's good. You don't want it? Okay. No, you guys are good? All right.
Just some gratitude.
You already ate it. The wrapper doesn't count. That's just terrible. All right, very good then. So here we go. Those of you who gave your candy back, yeah, these are full size. Did you give yours back? Okay, very good. Nope, just one. Yeah. So wait, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm giving you candy back. Why am I giving you candy back? Why did I give you guys candy in the first place? Why did I give you candy in the first place, guys? Because what? Because I love you? Is that why I gave you candy in the first place? Yeah, that's exactly why I did. And when you guys gave your candy back to me, she has no idea which one she's asking for or getting, right? When you guys gave your candy back to me, did I promise that I would take care of you? All right, so what did you guys learn today? Do I take care of you? Do I love you a whole bunch? And even when you like give your candy back to me, do I make sure that you get what you need? All right, who is that a lot like? Is that a lot like our God? Is that a lot like our God? Does he give us good things?
Yes.
Every once in a while, does he ask for whatever he gave you? Does he ask to have you give it back to him so that he can use it for his work? Yeah. And then, but does he like let us go then, or does he continue to take care of us? Why does he continue to take care of us? Because he loves us. Is he ever going to stop loving us? Is he you know, we call him Father because that's what he wants us to call him. We say our Father in heaven, and does our Father love us? Yes. Does our Father always want to take care of us? Yes. Can we trust him? Yeah, we can trust him. And that's what I want you guys to understand today, that sometimes God says, I want you to give back what I gave you, but we do it because we trust him. Will he always be able to take care of us? Always. All right, let's pray. Let's pray, and then I'll send you guys out. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. I pray that you would continue to be with us and help us, Lord, to always remember that you are the one that provides for us. And that we can't give more than you give us, and that you will always be there for us. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, guys, first of all, I want you to take your candy back to your parents, all right? Because running around with candy is probably going to get you in trouble. If you put it in your pocket, it just turns to mush, right? So take your candy back to your parents, and then we have little worship, and you can line up at this cross at the center aisle. And you guys will have some lessons just for you, and the rest of us are going to open God's word this morning right here. And I better get this out of the way before I fall on it. And if anybody didn't get candy and still wants it, come see me after church. No, I don't mean the adults. All right. All right, my friends. The text for today is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. I'll give you a little running start coming into this passage, or this reading for today. Elijah was having a rough time. He was having a rough time because Ahab, the king, married a lady from outside of Israel to be his wife, to be the queen. And she was a terrible influence. She brought to the land of Israel the worship of her gods, Baal, and a whole bunch of bad practices, and led the children of Israel astray because of her influence. And God was trying to deal with Ahab and Jezebel, and one of the ways that he dealt with them is that he told them that because of their disobedience, because of their wandering from him, that he was going to send a famine, all right? And that it would not rain in the land of Israel. And I guess it even bled over beyond that region because Elijah had to run for his life at that point because Jezebel didn't like him, and she wanted to help him die quickly. And so he ran for it and went to a place that God took him to. And that's where this story begins. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he got to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son so that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. All right, so you're imagining this story unfolding in your head, right? Elijah walks into town, and there's this widow that God had prepared in advance for Elijah. I mean, it's not like Elijah just happened upon this widow. It was a providential meeting, a meeting set up by God that it would happen just the way it did, because God told Elijah when he gave him directions of where to go, I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. All right, so God's got a plan, right? There's only one problem with God's plan. The person who was directed to give Elijah food didn't have enough food. I mean, it's a technicality, I suppose, but it seems like a rather large one. You know, that this woman had a very important job to do. She was there to keep this man of God alive, to provide for him, to make sure that he had what he needed to live, except that she didn't even have enough for herself. And so Elijah makes an odd request. Seems like a little, you know, selfish almost, you know. You've got a handful of flour left. How much bread could you make with a handful of flour? I mean, anybody, any bakers here? I mean, you're talking not much, right? A handful of flour and a little bit of oil. She knew it wasn't going to make much bread, because what was she gathering? Sticks, just sticks to bake the bread, because it wasn't going to take long to bake. Then her son and she were going to eat the last of their food, and she knew the next step with this, that they would die. They didn't have anything else. They had no hope. She had no other answers. There's nothing there. Absolutely hopeless. And Elijah, in that context, knowing that she was down to her last little microscopic amount of food, says, okay, you're planning on going home and making food for your family. Great. Go ahead and do that. But first, make some for me. Okay, so use your handful of flour and your last little bit of oil to make one last loaf of bread for me, and then go back and make some for your family. See a problem here? He wasn't asking for a little bit of food. He was asking her for everything. Give everything you have left to me. You want to hear something that's really crazy? She did it. I mean, really, she did it. She went home and made Elijah the loaf of bread, the last loaf of bread with the last bit of flour and the last bit of oil. She made it for him. Does that give you goosebumps? I mean, that's insane. And the answer is, the question is, why would she do it? Why would she do that? Why would she, what would motivate her? Why would she go about giving away the last of her food, not just the food for herself, but the food for her child? She gave away the food meant for her own son. My guess is because God told her to. That God said when he told Elijah to go to this place, he said, I want you to go there. Why? Because I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. And because God told her to do it, and because Elijah, the man of God, came to her and told her, whoops, down here. He says, don't be afraid, go home, do as you have said. Because the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So on the basis of God's command and on the basis of the promise of God through the prophet Elijah, she did it. That's a big job. That's a big thing. It really is. I mean, talk about faith, right? I don't have enough. What little I have is not going to get me through more than another meal. This God of Israel, the God that she knew, I mean, she wasn't living in Israel, but she knew about this God of Israel because when she swore an oath, she said, I swear by your God, the God of Israel. So she knew this God. She trusted this God. She trusted this God with her life. And she gave everything. And how's the story end? God provided. Now here's the part that I need you to understand is what got her to this point in life? Was it because she worked really hard? Was it because she saved her money and was really frugal? Was it because her husband worked hard before he died and set them up in a good place? Was it that got him to this point? And the answer is God. I mean, God got them to this point. And I think that's something that's really important for us to come to terms with, is because I think a lot of times in our culture and in our world, and especially with all the raging capitalism around us, which I particularly love. I think it's awesome. It's the most amazing way of running an economy. It has lifted more people out of poverty than anything. It's just unbelievable. But here's the thing. When we live in this kind of a culture and in this kind of economy, we tend to believe our own press, right? That why do I succeed? Because I work really, really hard, right? Except that we have to step back again and rewind this a little bit more, because here's the question. Who gave you the ability to work hard? Yeah. Who gave you the talents and abilities that you were able to now hone and work with and create, make into something of a marketable skill so that you can have a job? Right? I mean, this goes back to the first article of the creed, right? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. Also, my clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, money, goods, pious spouse, pious children, pious and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Does God do all that? If he does all that, what do we get credit for? You see what I'm saying? I love to ask the question this, is how much of your money belongs to God? Yeah. Think about that. And a lot of people want to say, well, it's mine. Well, no, is that really what we believe? Is it mine? Well, it's mine as in if it's not like my neighbor's, but is it mine as in like it doesn't belong to God himself? Well, no, it belongs to him. He gives it to us as a trust. We are stewards of our God's gifts, and that we are supposed to use these gifts to bring glory to him, to do his work in the world. Is part of doing his work in the world taking care of yourself? Yes. You are valuable. You are loved by God. You were bought with a price. You are precious to him. He wants you to take care of you. It's kind of an important thing, right? Does he want you to take care of your family? The spouse he gave you, the children he gave you, your parents, does he want you to take care of them? Well, absolutely. They are also precious and loved, and he gives you responsibility to care for the people that he has placed in your life. And does he want us to do his work in this world, which includes, yes, spreading the gospel of Jesus. Never, ever forget that. That is the core thing that we do underneath everything else. But while we are doing that, we also take care of those who are poor. We take care of those who are struggling. We take care of those who are grieving. We take care of those who are in any kind of need in this life, because that is the love that God has given us, and that is the love that God wants us to have for each other. And so knowing this, knowing that our God, the God who saved us, yes, but also the God who created us and made us and gave us the world that we live in and all the opportunities that we have in life, knowing that this God has given us a direction, a directive, a job to do with the stuff that he gave us. What are we going to do? I mean, here's the thing. God gives you your life. He gives you your world. He gives you your resources. He gives you your money. And he says, now use these things to do my work in the world. So, when does the spiritual police come around and tell us when we've messed up? Is anybody going to come and bust us? Write us a ticket, take us to court? Well, no. Can we totally get away with not using the stuff that God gave us for his purposes? Can we instead use it to give ourselves a very easy and life and something that we can depend on and something that we can use and to just be comfortable and not have to worry about all the struggles of the world because we have been well provided for? You can. What happens if the widow had done that? If she'd have said, no, I'd rather hold on to my own food. I want to keep it for myself. Would God have been able to provide for Elijah? Did God require the widow's participation in providing for Elijah? Remember a few, hundred years earlier when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and the people got hungry, what did God provide them? Manna. Who gave it to the children of Israel? Was there any intermediate? Did God depend on anybody to sacrifice to give the children of Israel what they needed? How about this? How about the quail? Because the children of Israel, of course, complained because that's what they do. Good thing we don't ever do that, right? Anyway, but the thing is, the children of Israel complained and they wanted meat as well, so God provided them. And who sacrificed so that quail could come? You know, it came directly from God. God provided it straight out of his own plenty. He did it, right? So did God need the widow to be part of the equation? Did he need her to sacrifice her handful of bread and a little tiny bit of oil? Did he need that? Who was being taken care of when God asked the widow to give up that last handful of oil? Or that last handful of flour and a little bit of oil. If you put a handful of oil, that's going to be messy. Yeah. Who was actually being served? The widow. Before Elijah came, before she sacrificed, what did she have left? Enough for one more meal. After she sacrificed, and after God's promise, how much food did she have? Enough for her family until it rained again in the land. Enough food to get her through the entire famine. Promised, guaranteed by God himself. Did she have to worry anymore after that? No, I mean, all her neighbors were worried. Where is the next meal coming from? How will we feed our family? She had no more worries because she had the promise of God. Think about that. Who was being served when God asked her to sacrifice? And how about y'all? When God asks you to sacrifice, does he ask you to sacrifice? Does he ask you to give of your money, of your time, of your patience? Trust me, if you're in leadership, that's a thing too. Of your peace of mind sometimes. Who is being served when God asks you to sacrifice for the good of his kingdom? Is it him? Does he need you? Or is he serving you by giving you an opportunity to take part in the kingdom work that God is doing already among us? That he is going to give you an opportunity to be provided for, to be given something that you need because he loves you that much. And the question is this. This God that we know, this God who has revealed himself to us, this God who we know because we this creed that we confess all the time is something that we confess it all the time. The first article of the creed is all about God as our provider, the God as our creator, the God who loves us enough to provide for us. Do you trust him? Because if we're afraid to sacrifice, it means we don't trust the promise. Do you trust him? Will you let go of that last handful of flour, a couple of drops of oil, so that God can fill you? And I'm not promising you wealth, trust me. I'm a pastor. You know, I've learned that wealth is not necessarily in God's cards. You know, it's just how that goes. But the thing is this: God knows what you need. He knows the holes in your life. He knows the struggles. He knows the weaknesses. He knows, and he has a plan for that stuff. The question is: will we let him? Do we trust him? Do we trust that even though everything we have isn't enough? I mean, the widow, mites, right? I mean, teeny little coins, what good does it do, right? She threw that last couple of pennies in the pot, and all the wealthy people had poured in so much. And was Jesus impressed with the wealthy people's gift? Because is the goal for God that he would be enriched? He owns everything. You know, what are you going to give him that he doesn't already have? That's not the point. The point isn't that you give him from your plenty. His goal is he wants your worship. He wants you to give everything to him. Or more accurately, acknowledge that he already owns everything. And that he asks you to take some of what he's given you, to take all of what he's given you, and use it for the purposes for which God gave it to you. And you say, well, what are those purposes? And this is where I say, back to Bible study. Because there's a whole lot of stuff in the Bible that tells us about what kind of things we ought to be doing with the money that God has given us, with the gifts and abilities and time and everything that God created when he created you. What does he want you to do with it? Well, that's a lifelong exploration. I'm not here to answer all those questions. I'm here to say, get on the journey. Start looking, start finding. Recast your mind to stop thinking in terms of this is mine, this is for me, and think in terms of this is God's and what does God want me to do with it? How will I worship God with this stuff, with my time, with my abilities? How? How will I sacrifice and then watch if God doesn't bless you? Because that's who he is. Because the one who gave you that stuff in the first place gave it to you because he loves you. And he loves you still. He will not stop. And his promise is sure. And we break down, we fall short, we don't get it right. Does God's grace still exist? Does that still cover our sin? Yeah. We receive that forgiveness. And then we go back into the world and we try again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. You have provided for us and you still provide still. Lord, we can't outgive you because you own everything. Yet we worry. We pray that you would continue to help us, Lord. That you would shore up our faith. And in the words of the man whose son was possessed by a demon, Lord, we believe but help our unbelief. Because in our belief, we struggle. Help us, Lord. Send your spirit to work in our hearts and our minds that we may receive this truth and apply it to our lives. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us continue our worship by singing the next song, which is Indescribable. There's so many things we can say about God. Most of the words that we use to describe God are words that really don't have definition. Like, he can do anything. Okay, well, that doesn't describe a lot. It's real general, right? We know that he knows everything. Okay, well, we know. Here's the thing. There's nothing he doesn't know. There's nothing he cannot do. How do you describe a God that is this great? And the answer is, well, in the end, we can say a lot of things about him. But in the end, he defies human language. He is greater than anything we can describe. So he is indescribable. Let's sing to him.
Indescribable.
My dear friends, let's stand as we confess the faith that our God has revealed to us using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Today is Veterans Day, so happy Veterans Day to all you guys who have, guys and ladies who have served. And we have a short video at this time as we enter into prayer. Let's stand as we turn to our Father in heaven in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today and we thank you that you have made us your people, that you have brought us into your family, Lord, and Lord, that you provide for us, Lord, in all ways, that you provide for us in the things that we have and the things that we need, Lord, and even the people, Lord, who make it possible for us to live free. I pray that you would continue to bless us, bless all those who serve us, whether it be in military or whether it be the other first responders, Lord, that you would continue to take care of those who are standing guard over us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the ministries of your church, all the people who are struggling to sacrifice, to serve. Lord, I pray that you would take the little things that we have, Lord, the loaves and fishes, the like little lunch that one boy brings, and make it enough for all the work that you need to do. Lord, nothing we have is that big in your eyes, but it's amazing, Lord, to see what you do with the things that that we give to you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless and provide for your people. Lord, I pray for all those in our community, Lord. There's a lot of struggles out there. People in our community who are struggling with having enough, people who are struggling with raising prices and rising cost of living, that it just makes it really hard on people who are living at a relatively fixed income. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless the people, but send us, Lord. Help us to be aware of the needs in our community and be able to share that love that you've shared with us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the people of our in the ministries of our church, Lord, especially in our school. Be with our teachers. Help them, Lord. Give them strength. And thank you, Lord, for sending us such wonderful people to do your ministry among the children. All this, Lord, we bring to you today. And we pray the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts dim the fruit of pure lives so that others may live. How beautiful the faith that brings the sound of good news and the love of the King. How beautiful the hands that serve the wine and the bread in the sons of the earth. How beautiful, how beautiful.
My dear friends, we have received a great gift today. The very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given to us by him with the promise of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And because his promise is good, we can rest secure in knowing that our sins have been washed away, that we are free of guilt, and that when he comes again, we will be found perfect because of the glory there, because of the perfection that Jesus has given us. With that, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song of praise together.
Of your
have a seat, my friends. And let's see, I got a few announcements, and then I'm going to have Jill come up. She's looking at me like, you're going to forget me, aren't you? I would never forget you. Unless, of course, I did. Okay, first of all, Operation Christmas Child boxes are due next week. Isn't that really ridiculously early? But nevertheless, it is the fact. So if you guys have been, you know, saying, oh, I want to do one of those, but I've got lots of time. Not anymore. Okay. Next thing, Angel Tree. We got our Angel Tree up in the lobby, and what that is basically all the ornaments on the tree are little tags. You can take the tag, go out, buy a gift or whatever, and bring it back with the tag so that we know what that gift was for. And we are basically taking care of families in our community who are in need, and so that's one of our opportunities to do that. After the service, our dear Sandra Canada, she is the one who takes all of the food that we donate in the lobby of the church, and she takes it over to the food pantry. She would like to have some strong people to help her haul that food out to her car after the service today. So if a couple of people be willing to do that, that would be amazing. And with that, it's all up to Jill.
I am so happy to be here on this day that we are honoring our veterans, and it's so appropriate for me to give you a very quick update on our military ministry, Operation Barnabas. He was, after all, the great encourager, and that's why the ministry is named that. And so I urge all of you to look in your hearts and consider how you can encourage our military, both active and veterans. So perhaps you all remember the 4th of July when we provided cards on a table out front and ask you if you would take a card or more and write a note, and then we would send it to our Barnabas team. Well, I was very pleased with the response we got, no more so than our wonderful Lynn Shagg, who wrote 30 cards. Yay, Lynn. Thank you for that. And there were others who wrote more than one card as well. In fact, I had so many from Lynn that I saved half of hers so I could put them in our Christmas cards this year. But so we added the other cards to it, and we're able, I can hardly do this without choking, 44 cards to our military active members of our Barnabas team. So I was pretty excited to be able to do that, as were the other members of our team. When we move forward from that, you know that I'll be standing out front next to the Barnabas bucket, looking pitiful and poor. So Christmas is coming, and if you peek in your wallet and you happen to see a couple of Barnabas bucks in there, you can toss those in the bucket. And so that's where we are with Barnabas right now, except that I will encourage you to let me know, or the office, and they'll let me know if you have anyone, and they don't have to be members of St. Mark's, but you know of someone who's in the military and would appreciate our prayers and our support, we'll add them to our Barnabas team. And also to please keep me updated on any address changes. That's one of our biggest challenges. So one more thing I would like to bring to your attention. I wouldn't know about this, but Sandra Canada passed this along to me. The American Bible Society has put out a huge plea and cry, and I have the letter from them for Bibles, and not used Bibles, but they're asking for monetary support so they can supply Bibles. Part of what they said is, these brave troops desperately need the strength God can give through his word. And there are active military who are deployed who are begging for Bibles. I can hardly stand that thought. And they go further to say the need is greater than ever today, with troops still deployed around the world in remote and dangerous places far from home. More and more American warriors are crying out for scripture. We need your help to provide our troops with Bibles so they can have the comfort of God's word as they go into harm's way to keep us safe. So to that end, I have brought forms that they sent. I made copies, and if you want to stop by my table out in the front, I'll be happy to supply those to you, and you can just do that directly. $5 for a Bible. And so part of our funds in our Barnabas treasury will go toward providing Bibles through the American Bible Society. So I encourage you, if you were at all moved in that direction, to please think about that. You can take a form with you. That's all. Have a blessed day. Thanks.
All right, my friends, as always, if anybody desires individual prayer after the service, we have one of our elders who's standing by the prayer chapel ready to pray with you. With that, God's blessings on your week. What? Family meeting. Oh, yeah, we do have a meeting after the service today. So, yeah, thank you. We definitely see the forgetting thing. Yeah, there it is. But basically, yeah, we have a family meeting after the service today. So if you guys would stick around for that, that would be really good. So you'd know all the ins and outs and business of the church. So, all right, God's blessings on your week.